Christ. I'm reflecting on all the aspects of this. I preach from an outline, so not every sermon is exactly the same. So right at this moment, I'm reflecting on what a great congregation this is. When I am here and I talk to you, and earlier in greeting, I see your eyes. This is a remarkable, remarkable gathering of Christians, because I just feel, since I've been here, you have a greater level of openness. There's something really different about you as a congregation compared to other churches, because we're talking about God's Word. And I'm telling you, when I look at your faces right now, I'm seeing openness and receptiveness. What a blessing that is. I have to tell you what an encouragement that would be to any preacher here in that moment, to be talking to people like you who seem to have an interest in what's God's Word for you today. And of course, I like it here because of that. So here's God's Word. This is a sermon about the body of Christ. It's not a part of a sermon series. I selected this topic a long time ago because I knew later today I'd be reporting back to you about the results and analysis and insights from the point of view of an outsider about what's going on here in a way that would be helpful. So this section of God's Word, this is kind of the foundation, intentionally so, when we later talk about ourselves with more candor than before, when we think about who we are, this is the God's Word foundation for that, namely the body of Christ. So I'm going to start by reading parts of this scripture as a foundation for the sermon. And then the sermon kind of has two parts. We're just, to tell you what's coming, we're digging deeper on the many parts, one body. What does this many parts thing mean? Let's absorb that. Let's think about what that means for many parts and then one body. What does that mean? So that's the sermon, a two-part sermon. But before I do, let's just review a little bit. I'm reading from my Bible, which is an NIV, and it's different from yours. Yours, page 959, if you follow along, is pretty similar to mine. But if you have page 959 open, I'm going to refer to this by verses and just not the entire text, but a portion of it that sets some themes. So here we go, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Verse 19 and 20. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. This is big picture stuff. You're with me, right? And then, verse 25, so that there should be no divisions in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ. That's a declarative statement. I think that's profound. You, whether you know it, believe it, agree, doesn't make any difference. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So that's the foundation for the sermon. That's really the foundation for our relationship as a congregation. Now, just for the fun of it, I'm going to talk about the body of Christ as a concept. So I'm guessing, and there I will ask for a show of hands. Raise your hand if you've heard of this phrase before, body of Christ. Have you heard it before? Show of hands. Look around. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty familiar. This is not what? What does that mean? No, you've heard it before. There it is, body of Christ. Great image. Here's the thing. We kind of assume that this is a Christian concept. Of course it is, body of Christ, not anybody. But yeah, we get that. But I want to draw a contrast and show you something I didn't know before. You know, when you do sermon research, you learn new things. So this next stuff, this was new to me. I hope it's interesting to you. This concept of a group of people as a body, in the days of Paul, Marcus Agrippa had written about that even before Christ, and he talked about the state as the body. So that was an existing concept in the world that Paul was communicating in. And as a contemporary of the Apostle Paul, when he was writing this, there was another guy, Plutarch, a Roman. Have you heard of him? Heard the name? Yeah, some of you have. He was writing also about the state as a body, but he had a different intent, a different message with that. In that Roman culture, there were patricians and plebeians. Plebeians, you know, like at West Point, you're nothing, you're a plebe, right? Get that? So the patricians were the upper crust and the plebeians not so much. So Plutarch was writing, and people, I think, generally knew this, that this image was intended so that the plebeians would know their place. You know, here, let me explain this to you. There are good parts and not so good, and you're one of those. So remember which one of those you are. You're the plebeian. This was Plutarch's writing, so he could, you know, sustain and uphold a proper cultural, social stratosphere. You know, it's not unusual. That's what it was. So my point in telling you this is that when Paul was writing this body of Christ thing, it wasn't just different. It was kind of opposite. It was an opposite thing that he used the image, but a different outcome. And if you go back and look, I think it's verse 21 and following, you'll notice that Paul is several times referring to stuff that makes an opposite. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Verse 23, the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Then further, verse 24, God has combined the members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no divisions. See the theme there? What is the point of this? Paul is saying, and to us too, he said, hey, everybody, we're all in this together. We're equal. There's no, you know, it's not like I'm more important than you. We're in this together. We're all important. Paul is making a point of using this existing imagery to make a different, almost opposite point. In Christ, let's make sure we honor and respect each other. Very powerful. So you get that, right? Different message. Now I want to dig down on the many parts, one body, many parts. I have several points. One is, I want you to think about all of the Christians in the world today. That's an image. Yeah, they're all over the world, aren't they? China, Korea, Africa, these are growing. And there's more Lutherans in Ethiopia than there are in America, just almost. Lutherans, Christians, all over the world. And then think of our church. My point is this. We in our church are really actually different from each other. We are different by age and sex and race and vocation. There are others, but that's enough for now. We're different. And one of the things that I find interesting, I don't think I would ever know this if I hadn't been an intentional interim for the last several years in a bunch of churches and listening carefully to people. Here's what I think. I think our age differences are almost more powerful than any other differences, because if you're of a certain age, your values at that age are important to you, but they're really, really different than other age groups. I've looked at demographic studies, and I can give you some quick results. But if you're older, like I am, I'm joking a little bit, way back when I was a kid, my grandparents were not that different culturally from me because the rate of change in the last 50, 60 years is quite different. Before I was born, a few more years, do you know that in the 1900s, the vast majority of Americans lived on a farm? And not only that, there was no social media at all. So whatever you thought about life was pretty much the same as what your grandparents thought about life. See what I'm saying? In my age, we come from a world where the cultural differences between age were almost non-existent. And then through the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, 2016 today, we have significant differences. And so we hold values that are different. So if you're a young person today and your grandmother doesn't tweet or text or she's not on Facebook, she still might know some really good things because she's seen a lot of things. But she won't understand a good part of your world and other things she will understand. And if you're the grandmother, you have no idea what these kids are up to today. It's kind of funny, but you know, I'm saying that we're really different. And so when we come to church, what's my point? Well, my job, I'm not like a settled pastor at all. I have a very specific different job. My job is, first of all, to listen really carefully. That's what I've been doing for the last 3 months. And I'm going to tell you 12:15 what I think. Listening carefully is my job. And when I do that, I notice, hey, look at that. Strong beliefs that are different. So what's my point? Get to it, David. We are really, really different from each other in age, by values. Next thing we're different in is sex. There's lots. He's talking about sex. Well, yeah, in a way, because men and women are wired differently. Here's one of my funny stories about how men communicated. When I was growing up, I lived on a farm in Concordia, Missouri, and one Sunday, this actually happened. We're sitting on the front porch. You're just like out of an American movie or something, and all the men were there. And we're sitting around, and after a couple minutes of silence, one man finally spoke. And here's what he said. Sorry, this is so funny. Yep. That was it. The sound he makes. Yep. That was it. That's all he said. And then we all went back to silence. Because if you're a guy, that's all you need. You're good. And what he said, we had general agreement on. Yep, that's... There's a lot of truth in that. That's right. Isn't that funny? This is our communication. Yep, that was it. So women are different and men are. So we have differences in age and sex and race. There's a lot of talk about race in America today and a lot of misunderstanding. But we in the Christian church, we have brothers and sisters in every part of the world. They're Christians. So we need to understand that we come from different backgrounds. If you're African American in America today, you might have still deep resentments for legitimate reasons. You know, your ancestors were slaves. That's not right. It makes you angry even to think about it. You know, if you're white, you don't really understand because nobody in your family was a slave. You know, there are issues like that and many other cultural differences. Race is a different thing. And then finally, vocation. Working my way through college and semi, did a lot of different jobs, and what I learned from that was really different worlds. And since ordination, I've had seven different kinds of work that I've done after ordination: fundraiser, admissions counselor, consultant, pastor, just a lot of different things. And in Rotary, two Rotary clubs, Linwood and downtown Seattle, where every week you sat with people from different worlds. I understood a lot of things. The academic world, for example, in my opinion, is really well educated, but not actually very curious. Certainly not about values that they don't agree with. It's funny. You pay really close attention to different. And the military world is different than the medical world and the legal world, you know. Doctors and lawyers don't like each other very much because lawyers sue doctors. It gets tiresome after a while, you know. It goes on and on. People come from different worlds. There's labor and management, and we have vocational differences. So now to summarize all this, I really wanted to take the time to drill down to say, look, we have differences with age and sex and race and vocation, and we in this church and in the world, we are really, really different. I want you to let that sink in for a little bit. We have different ways of communicating. Not only that, we communicate differently. Some of us are verbal, some are quiet. We have different ways. We're really, really different. And what is that? Well, that's kind of a law message. It's sinking in. That's the reality. Come on. There is no way on earth that all of us really different people should be getting along. Because we're not birds of a feather flocking together. We're just different. And yet, so this is the gospel part. The gospel is, but yet, you have to let that sink in so you understand the power of this statement. You are the body of Christ. What? Are you kidding me? No, I mean it. We are the body of Christ. We are united intimately. We're like a body. Look, here's my ear, here's my nose. It's kind of eyes. We're physically connected. We're going to be with each other in eternity in heaven. We have a bond that we don't have with non-Christians. We will be together forever, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're members of the same family. We're actually even more members of the same body. So that would never work. It would never be true if we didn't actually understand what those things that connect us are. And the most powerful thing of all that connects us, wait for it, this is good. We are equally loved by God. We're forgiven by God. We know that we're sinners and God loves us anyway. Every one of us here in this room have a remarkably close, intimate connection because we are loved by God. That's the gospel message. There just is not any message of any kind in the history of humanity that equals it. The story of God's love through Jesus Christ, who suffered and died on the cross, paid the price for our sin, through which he rose again, through which we have eternal life, through faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's the story of God's love. By story, I don't mean fake. Actually, historically happened. It's God's love in our life, and that connects us in a way that nothing else does. That's the power of understanding for a while how really different we are and yet how connected we are. So at the end of this section of Scripture, again, this is the foundation for us. We read from God's Word these words, "You are the body of Christ." It's like, no doubt about it. Let me explain this to you. After you get this, you'll understand a lot of other things. Why we gather together voluntarily. Why this church grew over the years. Why we have resources and people who here have a heart for doing that. You know, we say we're going to seek out and bring. Those are the verbs in our mission statement. We're going to seek out and bring people into a relationship with Jesus, personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's what we want to do. And it's kind of the Great Commission. It's what Jesus told us we should do. And we all kind of voluntarily signed up for that. We said, yeah, we can do that. That'd be cool. Let's give that a try. What a great thing. Many parts, one body. Many parts, one body. That's God's word for us today. That's God's word explained a little bit. So what does it mean? Well, I'm talking about this. I'm really talking about the church. I'm talking about Christians everywhere. I'm talking about St. Luke's Lutheran Church. That's fine. But I want you to understand, I'm really talking about you. If you understand who you are in connection with that, I believe that'll make a difference in your life. Sometimes, let me be direct, sometimes when you get to be older, you think nobody loves or cares for you. That's not true. You are a part of the body of Christ. You're connected. You are loved by God. There may not be somebody to call you. You may feel lonely, but the truth is you're not alone. It's an identity issue. If you're old and feeling unloved, you are a member of the body of Christ. If you're young and you feel that you're not making connections or you don't know your place in life and no one cares for you, that's not true. God loves you just the way you are. You are a member of the body of Christ. You have family, and part of that family is here physically. But part of it is a mystery and unseen that you're connected with Christians all over the world who, like you, are loved by God and forgiven by God. You are the body of Christ. So as we go forward together, as a community of Christ at St. Luke's Lutheran, let's remember our identity. This is the foundation of who we are. I hope you can join us at 12:15 as I share more information. If you can't make it, I'll tell you the summary. 2 points. We're in this together and we're going to be okay. It's a summary. There's a lot more, but that's, you know, what is he saying? That's it. You haven't got the main points. We're in this together because God has called us together. We're going to be okay because God tells us we're going to be okay. We are the body of Christ. My prayer for us is that we understand it, we believe it, we take it in, we reflect, we think about it. Well, wait a minute, so I'm expecting you in the following days to think about this. Like, oh yeah, well, what would that mean? Does that make a difference? How do I talk to this person? Well, if we're part of the same body, maybe I better be nicer to that person. You know, respectful listening, of course, appreciation, respect. These are the hallmarks of our community. So it might change the words that come out of your mouth. It might change whether you make a phone call to somebody to check in, see if they're okay. It might mean lower social barriers between people so you can be more open with each other. These are all the implications I expect you to think through in the coming days to say, what does this mean? Oh, yeah, well, that's true. Then maybe I can do this instead of that. It makes a difference in your life. You will be different if you understand. You are the body of Christ. May God grant that we get it. May God grant that we live it. In Jesus' name.